Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more.
Hey guys, we actually recorded this a little earlier today. I just wanted to let you know that Norm Macdonald, weekend update anchor for SNL, has been passed away for 2 weeks now. Enjoy the show.
Oh yeah, it's time for some pre-rolls. We got four of them today. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, they send your job to over 100 top job sites. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP to try it out for free. New sponsor this week. We all know that person who brings the best wine to the party. How do they do it? Maybe their secret is Lathwaite's wine. Now you can be that person at the party. Just text PROJECT to 64,000. Get six amazing bottles of wine plus two bonus bottles and two stemless wine glasses for only $49.99 plus tax with free delivery. Text PROJECT to 64,000. Terms apply. Attention, listeners from all across the galaxy. I think we've got a pube problem. If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP. Finally, Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/JRVP. You'll remember it's the easily customizable sofas, armchairs, love seats, and more delivered directly to your home with fast, free shipping. That's 20% off all orders at allform.com/JRVP. Big show today. We've got a QAnon conspiracy about Gabby Petito, gorillas getting down, and a penis full of poo coming up on episode 124 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Football season is over.
Oh, poor Anthony. What? You know, the Steelers broke your heart on Sunday? You're done with it this year?
It's embarrassing. My heart's not broken. My heart is with the team, as it always is. It's just, it's not fun. You know, it's if your team wins, you get a bunch of cool stuff to read. You know, that week, it's all fun and games. And you know, they don't have to win every game, but when they do, you're definitely happier. But this is just, I mean, just embarrassing. I feel bad for Ben. I wish we had beaten Cleveland in the playoffs last year and he could have retired. But I just feel bad for him. And I don't even
Why
think
do you
it's
feel
totally...
bad for him? He's not someone that really engenders a lot of sympathy, I feel like.
He does if he won you two Super Bowls and got you to a third. You know, like I always appreciate him for that. Like, do I? Is he a role model? No, but I would have liked to have seen him end a little better. And I thought maybe they would get an offensive line that he could do something with. But and I don't necessarily blame him. But I think he's going to have a rough season that you just wished he had wrapped it up a little bit earlier. But yeah, it's going to be. I mean, these next four games are going to be brutal. I mean, I don't see what's going to happen. And my big fear is Tomlin losing his. He's never had a losing season, and I think this is going to be the one. We'll see. I have faith in Tomlin to kind of turn things around. But getting spanked by the Bengals is just embarrassing. Just makes
that's about as low as it gets. We're in similar spots here. We're kind of throwing it back to our old RJVP days. With the football talk, but we've both liked these great teams over the years. The Patriots are maybe the most boring team in the league outside of the Steelers. I don't think they're going to be very good. And as I've gotten older, I really realize I've kind of emotionally disconnected in a way that I used to say that I could, but I really couldn't. Maybe it's Brady not being there, but there is part of me, I think it's just like I'm older, I'm 42, and it's like, why am I letting this sports team control my emotions in a way that I just don't enjoy anymore. I'm still other things are on Sundays that bother me, but the Patriots like no longer touch my heart. I don't know if that I'm just like getting colder as I get old, but it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it makes me happy when they win, but when they lose, I'm not mad. I'm just like, ugh, like this, we lost to these guys. After beating Buffalo, we're going to lose to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. It's just kind of like, ugh. But I'm not mad. I'm just like, football's over. It's done. Talk to me in February. At least I still have the Pirates. At least I have the Pirates for another couple days. They've been setting the league on fire. And then the Penguins come back soon. They've started camp. But Crosby and Malkin are both out at least a few months for Malkin, a few weeks for Crosby. But that's not going to be a season that I'm going to enjoy the way I got to enjoy last season. So I need to find something else. Luckily, I have stand-up. I did a lot of stand-up this week. Pretty much that was my whole week, was just going to shows. But one, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago, where I had said I was at the show. At the show I do down the street, and the guy comes in and announces that, three people have died. Two of them were comics, and a third comic is in the hospital. And they're like, yeah, this guy, and he says the one guy's name. And I'm like, oh my God, that guy? Like, yeah, I remember that guy. Like, I've never seen him perform, but I'd done shows with both those guys. And I've got a picture in my head of who has passed away. And I'm like, oh my God, that fucking guy, like I was just talking to him a couple days ago, and I'm at this show this weekend, and guy walks up to me and is like, hey, what's up, Anthony? How's it going? And I swear to God, I thought I was like seeing ghosts. I was like, holy shit. And we like talk for a second, and then I pull over someone from the show. I'm like, I thought that guy was dead. And they're like, you thought he was? No. It's the other guy. And I was like, I thought the entire time that it was this dude. I have no idea who actually died. I don't think I ever met him or remembered him. But I thought it was really funny that I would get that so wrong.
You should tell him sometime. If you see him again, you should tell him. I mean, he'll be thrilled. Maybe he'll feel like he really needs to take advantage of this second chance to live.
I'm not going to tell him, hey, when I heard someone OD'd on cocaine and fentanyl, I just assumed it was you. Someone I've met twice. Like, I'm never going to say that. But everyone I told thought it was really funny. But the first 5 seconds, I thought I'm talking to a ghost right now. That I'm seeing things, like something's wrong with me. And this dead guy just walked up to tell me I had a great set. So yeah, that was a very on-brand Justin Lick move this weekend. And then I did I haven't done this in a long, long time. But sometimes, I go out, I'm having a few drinks, I come home, I smoke a little pot, and I get ready for bed. And then I get hungry. Before I fall asleep, I get really, really hungry, and I have nothing in my house. Right now, I don't really have much in my house. Where it's like, do I want to spend half an hour, preheating the oven and throwing in this thing, or do I just want to order some food? And so this happens to me once a year, maybe, where I order food.
And then fall asleep.
More than once a year. Okay.
No, I order food and then forget that I just ordered the food. And I order food again. And that's what I did this time. I was on two different apps. I was like looking around, and I ordered ramen from a place nearby, and then just totally forgot that I'd ordered it. And then I order this from this like some seafood place, and I got like a bunch of stuff, and I don't realize it until I get the ramen. I'm like, wait, I thought I ordered this, and I look at the apps, and I'm like, oh my God, I double ordered. and I eat all this ramen, and then I'm stuffed, and then I'm like, I'm not getting off my couch. And the other delivery order gets there. And the front desk calls, and they're like, hey, we have another delivery for you. And I just say, I don't want it. Like, I don't want this. Either, like, you can have it, or the guy can just, like, throw it away or give it to a homeless person, whatever. Like, and I've already paid for it. The guy's already been tipped. So that I think there's not, this guy's going to be fine with it. He's going to be, okay, whatever. I'm sure people fall asleep at this time of night and don't get their stuff. So they're like, okay, you
no,
really
there's
want it?
Other people do not just like fall asleep and not in the not
I've
get the second of the two deliveries. I'm just saying the double delivery. It feels like that is pretty random.
Double delivery, yeah, totally sure. Random, totally my bad. But I've also fallen asleep before and not gotten, but that's very rare because I'm like I'm waiting for it. But this guy, I assume he's just going to be like, okay, like I'm leaving. I go to sleep and I wake up the next morning to 50 texts. From the guy who was trying to deliver to me. And he is furious. He's like, how dare you? I waited for you. I had other deliveries in the car. I've delivered to you before. I'm never delivering to you again. I work for all the apps. I'm never coming to your place. And just keeps on going. And I'm like, you still got paid. Maybe you waited 5 extra minutes that you wouldn't have had to anyway. But that was like, as soon as it was like, oh, he doesn't want it, you can leave. But the guy was just like raging texting me. For hours that night. I think he like ended his shift and like got home and then just kept on coming back and sending more texts. But there were so many that I like stopped reading them at one point. But now I can never order from a delivery service again because I'm afraid it's going to be this one guy.
Did you answer?
Hell no. Hell no. Why? I mean, it's over. Like it's the next morning. What am I going to do? Like, hey, you bring it on back. I'm sorry, but I wanted to be like, you still got paid.
Yeah,
everyone
that's what
got
I don't
paid.
Get.
Maybe you could respond though and. Like it strikes up an unlikely friendship. It could be
that's
like
true.
A buddy. This could be the start of like a buddy comedy movie.
It could be the guy I thought was dead. You know, bring it full circle.
I'm confused. Yeah. First of all, you should take the food. Don't you ever? You know, you would want the food the next day. You know, you want a little leftovers. But hopefully hopefully the front desk guy took it or something.
No, they were
clearly
confused. They
not.
They were like, you don't want it. You just want, I was like, yeah, I don't want it. Just send it away. Before, like, I double ordered and one was a pizza and I just like gave it to the valet and the valet was thrilled to have a pizza. And then like on Sunday morning I wake up and this happened to me Saturday night and Sunday morning I wake up and I'm looking at all these texts and then I see your DoorDash order is here. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, did I wake up in the like early in the morning? And it's like 11 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're like, your DoorDash order is here. And I'm like, I don't know how I could have like accidentally ordered DoorDash in my sleep for like a morning delivery. And it's donuts. It's, have you guys, Cronuts? Oh, no, Mochi Nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you had Mochi Nuts? They're like, yeah, yep. These Mochi Nuts. And I'm like, there's no way I would have even known. But Mochi Nuts are good. And the front desk calls me. And they're like, they're here. Do you just want us to like leave them here? Because I'm like, I'm so in bed, I'm not getting out at this point. But I know I've got to take Romy for a walk. So I'm like, listen, leave them down there. I did not order this. I don't know who has my address that would have ordered me donuts on a Sunday morning. But I'll take the dog for a walk and I'll come and I'll grab them. And I come and get them. And there's just like a little post-it note that just says, thank you, Anthony, on it. And I have no idea. And I've been on record of my love for Mochi Nuts. But I don't know who would have sent them to me and had my address and was able to do it. That I brought them upstairs and I put them down. And I'm watching football and I'm just like staring at them like, do I eat these? Like, I'm a little bit worried. Like, I don't know where they're from, but they are Mochi Nuts. And I folded. I ate them. I ate a lot of them.
Maybe they're from the door. Maybe they're from like the guy from the night before. It was like his way of
he
saying
felt
that. Sorry.
But that guy wasn't DoorDash. It wasn't. I don't want to use the name of the app, but it was the DoorDash is the one I picked up. The other one I let slide. But that's cost of doing business. You know, cost of getting the munchies at 3 in the morning.
Well, if you're listening now and you're the person who sent the Mochi Nuts, let Anthony know.
Why not text me to be like, hey, I sent you donuts. I have like a theory, but this person I would not have had my apartment number, you know, my full address that I'm just I was just surprised, but no one's come forward.
I was like, yeah, I didn't mess anything up on the podcast where I needed to send you something, so in a while.
No. Do you want to get into that, Erica?
No.
The time you asked my address and then everyone
sent
was like,
you flowers.
Why did Erica, what did Erica mess up? Should we replace her with Coach T? anything interesting happen with you this week, Greg? Any people you know come back to life?
No, unfortunately. It was your goddaughter's 10th birthday officially since we last taped.
Double
that was
digits.
Nice. I remember the thing I remember most from it was just like during dinner, she was just like, "Daddy, why do you keep looking at me funny?" And I was just like, "Oh, I'm like doing this dad thing where I'm just kind of looking at her every now and then and being like, oh, the years have passed. I'm getting old. Like, I can't believe you're 10.
And you know what? You're going to be a crying dad for sure. Have you cried over your kids? You already do. Like, did you cry? Did you get a little like misty eyed at the dinner?
Yeah.
Like when you sing happy birthday?
They wouldn't know, but yes, I would. I definitely do, but I mostly just cry by myself. That's more of what I'm a cry.
Sure. As a man, you close the door and you let it out and then you come on out and everything's
No,
great.
It's not that, but I was definitely getting emotional. I got emotional a few times this week. I definitely got emotional during that. She's so sweet, obviously. And she's just at this point now that like, you know, she on one hand, she kind of seems like like an old Jewish grandfather, like very much, you know, very particular and can get cranky and funny in her ways. And like what she wants is what she wants. But on the other hand, she's still got total child innocence. And I can just see like looking at fourth grade and seeing how some of the other classmates are starting to get a little clicky, a little more, you know, social wars are starting, that it's like, oh, the innocence is gonna leave soon, so I'm trying to just enjoy this time.
Yeah, I mean, your daughter Alice is one of my favorite people in the world, and you want her to stay the same, but I'm also looking forward to seeing how she evolves. I hope she doesn't become like, I can't imagine her becoming a mean girl. I see her as like the defender, like the person who defends the kids who are getting bullied and stuff. But I'm just waiting for, I want to be around like when she goes on her first date. Like, and when maybe it's like at the homecoming dance, you know what I mean, her freshman year of high school. But I want to be there to watch you cry. I want to be there to watch you weep. And then when she goes to college.
I'm not going to cry at the date or whatever. That part of it, like, that's a very, like, cliche dad thing. Is like, oh, I don't want her to, you know, like, start to, you know, I don't think that's going to
bother me.
Oh, no.
I don't think you'll be
really?
Overprotective. I not think really. You'll just be like my little girl's growing up. Yeah. And eventually, like, there will be a man in her life that's, like, more important to her than her dad. And that's what will make you... I don't think you're going to be protective. I don't want to be there to, like, threaten a kid. I just think that that's, like, a sign of growing up. And she's going to, like, look beautiful in her dress going off in this, like, limousine. That's going to be hard to watch. And when she goes to college, even if she goes to college at UCLA and it's, like, down the street, you are going to fucking cry gallons. And I want to be there for it. I want to be there to watch you lose your mind.
How do you wrap your head around, like, you're like, that won't bother me, but it's like, that's my daughter, and, like, you know how gross, like, guys are?
It's more that I think, with her, I will feel all you can do is just be, like, confident in who she is as a person, you know?
Uh-huh, 100%. She's got self-confidence. You know, there are girls that growing up with that have no self-confidence. And I think a lot of times it's because the dad isn't as big a part of their life. And those are the girls you worry about. But I don't worry about Ellis at all. I know guys are gross, but Ellis has no problem saying no. That I don't worry about that when it comes to dating. But I do
it's a little early to be having this older. Dating conversation.
She's 10.
At all. But I do I do have a friend who has an 11-year-old daughter who already got her period. So it's like, it's a little bit on my mind. That just, like,
how did that come? How do you know that?
He brought it up, man. Like, this is a thing that you're going to end up going through as a parent. So if it's happening, you know, he mentioned it. I mean, she was there. We were all together. And he told me.
In front of her?
In front of the daughter?
No, not in front of her. But,
okay.
You know, we were out.
Oh. Did he try to high five?
Susie.
Did you try to high five him when he told you?
I was just like, shit.
Hey,
man.
Susie, show Greg your period.
I just like, it's just like, hey, this is something that, you know, it's not like I'm going to be having long conversations with, but shit's going to be changing. I would
be like, bro, this is mom talk. Okay. I don't know who you think I am, but don't get it twisted. I don't want to hear that shit.
I mean, you gotta face what's in front of you. I went to a concert for the first time since the pandemic started. I saw Waxahachie, who made this album Saint Cloud, which was probably my favorite album of the last year and a half. And it was like, it felt amazing to be at a concert. I went
this weekend too to Ohana Fest, which is like Eddie Vedder, and I saw Maggie Rogers, and it was outside on the beach, but it was like just being around like live music. Like, oh my God, it felt amazing.
It felt like amazing. I wish I could have just like stayed inside that concert for the whole week and not like go back to life, but it felt good. It felt uplifting. Gave me some life. I needed it. I was a little tired. I went by myself. I had two tickets for the night before. I was going to go back to back nights, and then that felt like a little crazy. Well, with my work schedule and also with COVID, because it was indoors and everything. You had to show your vax card. And the second night, I only had one ticket because I was like, who's going to come with me back to back nights when I first bought it? So I went by myself, and I totally recommend going to concerts by yourself if you don't know someone that like loves that band too, or that just like is going to want to go, because then you don't have to worry about anyone.
100% agree. You don't have to look at the person to see if they're having a good time,
or if you're going through a breakup. If you're going through a breakup, Greg and I went to a concert, and I was going through a breakup at the time, and I was really depressed, and there were all these like lesbian couples like so in love surrounding me and Greg. Weird. I was just
it's like the last time Erica and I did something just socially together. Just
yeah. I think it's funny that Greg's wife would rather die than be seen with him in public.
it's not true. You know, I knew that's not something she's going to want to get a sitter for, to go see Waxahachie at a church in Silver Lake. But it was beautiful. It was awesome. Yeah. Like a church that's also like a concert venue that plays to a couple thousand people. I've actually been there before. It was great.
It's a house of
God.
That
was my week.
And now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? No. No notes. And now let's take it down to a place that we can't give notes, because it's Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer for 122 out of 124 episodes, I believe. I might be getting that wrong. We love her. She's got her own podcast, The Broadcast, with her friend Emma, also on All Things Comedy. So if you like Erica's Corner, if Erica's Corner is your favorite part of the show, I don't know what to tell you, but have I got the podcast for you. It's The Broadcast. So check that out, and we'd like to let her carve out a little time, ask us a viewer question, a listener question, play a game, sometimes two questions. You never know with Erica. That's why she's a wild card. So Erica Tamposi, shine for us.
All right. I've got two questions this week. I also had a very explicit cameo request come in this weekend that I did send to Anthony. And I was like, do I even bring this up on Erica's Corner? Because it is so repulsive but very funny. But we decided against it. So this
this is something for the broadcast you could like really jump into and get into. And it seems like it would be more for your fans. This, yeah. I feel like if you described it, I think you would just get inundated with such requests from the assholes who listen to this podcast. But yeah, are you going to talk about it on the next episode of the broadcast?
I'll try, but you know Emma. I mean, she's not going to let me really talk about that too much.
You're the boss. Tell her. I mean, and it's a revolting request that I didn't know you were allowed to make on Cameo.
Me neither.
And I wonder how they found you, and I'm surprised that you honored the request. But it was a horror show. So yeah, listen to the next episode of the broadcast to find out what Erica is talking about. It's worth it. I just did not want her to sully Erica's Corner by bringing it up here. So what questions have we got?
All right. So this first one's from Matt. My name is Matthew, and I'm a long listener of the show and a huge fan of Anthony's. I was checking my Facebook memories and saw that 8 years ago on September 22nd, 2013, Anthony came to the Wilbur in Boston. I'm from New Hampshire. Shout out. So you can bet your bottom dollar I was going there and right at the front table. At the end of the set, he would give away his set list. Someone offered him their shoe for it. I was jealous. I wanted something. I actually gave him $20 for the blue solo cup he was drinking out of. He said it was vodka lime. The next show of his, I went prepared with a parenting book to give him, but he had his set list on his phone that time. My questions are, do you drink on stage or was it water? And what kind of things have fans given you for your set list at the end of the show? Love you guys. Long live the Dark Prince of Comedy.
Interesting question. In 2013, I was definitely drinking vodka. I would pour myself a vodka rocks, throw some limes in it, and drink that throughout the show. I would have a little bit before and then pour that cup. And then, like, by the end of the show, I was not in great shape. The show was good. Like, my whole thing was, like, don't slur. If I'm slurring, then I'm too drunk, but I would enjoy vodka. That was 2013. And then I would give away my set list sometimes because I remember I was in Vancouver. And everywhere I'm going in Vancouver, I can smell weed, like, everywhere. But I don't have it. Like, I didn't bring any with me because I'm going into Canada. And so during the show, I'm talking about how Vancouver just reeks of weed, but I can't find any. So I'll give my set list to someone who gives me a joint. And there was a goddamn riot. It was like people just running to the stage, throwing these like insane amounts of weed at me that I was like, oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to do this from now on. And then after that, it was like a 9 times out of 10 humiliating. Like, people would just look at me like, well, you want what? You want us to get, you want drugs? Or they'd be like, they would just give me some like random thing that I didn't really want. And then I'd have to like take the set list off the stool and it would like rip. And I just like, I hated doing that. That I was like, eventually just stopped giving away my set list entirely. And now when I have my pre-show ritual, I have 2 Heinekens. I have 2 Heinekens because I feel like I can feel the weight of it. It's just enough that it takes enough time to drink that, like, because I drink before the show because I'm bored. I get there like an hour in advance and I'm just sitting backstage waiting to go on. But I'll have 2 Heinekens and then I fill that cup with ice water. And that's what I drink on stage. So that when I get off stage, I'm in a much better shape than I was. But 2013 was like my first huge major tour where I was really getting after it. But yeah, now it's water on stage for me. The weirdest thing, I remember someone throwing a shoe on stage at the Wilbur in Boston and pointing at it and being like, oh, this feels like the Boston Marathon. And people went apeshit. I think one guy once threw a fake leg on stage. That was what? Funny. And yeah, he lost his leg. And
his fake leg?
Yes, threw his fake leg on stage. Like, as a, he wasn't really giving it to me. I was like, I gave him the set list and then gave him the leg back. But people wouldn't like, people would give
nice
me...
of you.
People would give me kind of like weird things. Nothing ever like great. Nothing where I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. I remember one kid, I was in Portland, and it's like the second time I've tried to do the weed thing, and like everyone's just staring at me, like, why is this guy asking this for weed? And this little kid comes up, and he's with his mom, and the mom's like, go up there, and the kid comes up, and I'm like, what do you have? And he's like, nothing, just give it to me. And so I gave it to him, and I'm like, all right, I don't ever want to give away my set list again. This is so weird. And after the show, I wait up backstage for like an hour or so. And then I come out and the mom and the kid are still waiting for me. Like, everyone else has left, but the mom and the kid are still there. And the mom is like, he sold his iPod to get tickets for the two of us to come and see your show. Like, that's what? How big a fan he is. Like, can he get a picture? And I'm like, sure. And then afterwards, I'm like thinking about it. And I'm like, you know what? I get on Twitter and I'm like, there was a kid at my show in Portland who I gave my set list to. Like, does anyone have it? Like, if he sees this, get in touch with me. And he gets in touch and I get his address and I send him like one each of like my DVDs, my CDs, and I get him a new iPod and I send Aww. It to him. And then he does a like YouTube video like thanking me. And it's clear that the mom was lying. That he did not sell the iPod. They were just trying to get like free stuff or like get more, or get like an extra picture or like hang out longer, and just flat out lied to me. So I gave
how do you know? How do you know that it was lying?
Because he didn't mention in the video that he had sold his iPod to get to the show. He was like, and a new iPod, and you can like see his old iPod like sitting next to him on the thing. Like I wasn't even mad. I was just like, this is something that's kind of funny, but yeah, I'm not buying.
How old was he that he was that big of a fan?
He was. I mean, I would guess at like 14 at the oldest, and like was like, you know, the kind of kid who like was such a fan. He would take his mom to come see me, which I'm like, I always like, you know, kids at shows, and I'll do usually whatever they want. But no more tracking down your address and getting an iPod. So yeah, so I never got great things from the set list, and I stopped doing it completely. But if someone would ask for it afterwards, I would sign it and give it to them. Actually, once to know, I was in Edinburgh. And I signed a set list and gave it to this girl who came to both shows. I think she came to Edinburgh like just to see me. And then she posted a picture of it online. And then everyone could see my set list. That I was like, no, this is just for you. I don't want people knowing what my jokes are. You know, it was just the names of the jokes. But I'm like, no, now I'm protective of my set list because I don't want people to see what's coming.
I got another one for you today. It's actually from another Matt. He says, I'm curious if Anthony had an opinion on Jim Brewer's recent decision to not play venues that require vaccine cards. I assume Anthony will require them, but wondering what most major comics will or won't require going forward. Also saw some of Tom Segura on Rogan, and if Anthony had any thoughts on Tom being on an episode with Joe flouting COVID nonsense. Big fan of the show. Thank you for all the laughs.
Okay, I'll answer these in order. The Jim Brewer thing, like, I think it's weird when you're, like, mad about this. Like, if you're like, I'd rather not, I don't need, I'm not as big into vaccines as other people, and I'm very, very into vaccines, where I only do shows that require a vaccine or outdoors. And I would be very uncomfortable doing a show where a vaccine was not required. And I can't imagine, like, making it my thing that I'm against vaccinated shows. Like, I think that's weird. You can not think it's like, you can have your opinion, but when you're like publicly stating you refuse to perform in places that have vaccine
requirements. I mean, he's just going, like, for a certain audience. Like, he's now becoming kind of the, like Adam Carolla did a little bit on Fox, like becoming like a conservative comic. And
sure.
So trying to like play to his crowd.
Yeah, and I think that's, and I think he's got fans. Jim Brewer's a great comic. I just don't see the point of that, and like also being like, I refuse to perform in places that won't let me perform because I'm not vaccinated. You're not boycotting anything. You're just following the rules, but like loudly doing it. And people were like, I would like, whenever I post something about the Comedy Store or like Largo that requires a vaccine, they're like, I'm not coming if it's vaccine required. And it's like, yeah. That's the point. You can't come if you don't have the vaccine. So I don't understand why people are getting like get mad about it and make it their whole thing. There have been several comics who have said this. I just ignore it. I don't care. I think they're just kind of just want something to talk about. As for Tom Segura being on Joe Rogan, I have zero problem with it. Again, there are different Joe Rogans out there. There's the Joe Rogan I know, like from backstage at a show, who like could not be a nicer guy, could not be a more generous guy. We don't talk conspiracy stuff, you know, and I like that Joe. I like the UFC commentator, Joe Rogan. As far as like what he says on his show, if he's having that big an effect on people, by being kind of anti-vaccination, then I think that's on the people listening who are listening to Joe Rogan, you know, who are like, oh yeah, Rogan is an authority on this when he's clearly not. And we'll admit if he gets really called out on it, I'm just a guy talking. I think he truly believes this. And I truly believe that if he had one listener as opposed to millions and millions of listeners, he would be doing the exact same podcast. I think he's talking to people who interest him, and I can't fault the guy for that. And I would never say you shouldn't go on Joe Rogan because of his anti-vax status. It's a huge show. It's a huge publicity move. Tom is trying to sell a tour. And I know Joe and Tom go way back. You know, Tom is open for him. That, yeah, why wouldn't you go on the show? You know, would I be thrilled about going on his show right now because of that? No, but I wouldn't judge anyone for it. And I've been on Joe Rogan. It wasn't the greatest of episodes, if you listen to it. But it's...
Why
it's,
not?
It's just because we didn't have much to say to each other. You know, I don't... We could talk a little bit about comedy, but, I don't have the same opinions as like the guests that are on there that listeners go crazy for. I'm not one of those guys. You know, we're just kind of talking shop, and I think they want to hear, you know, someone railing against the government or whatever the fuck they do on that show. I don't listen to the podcast, but if you're like, if you're like, I'm not getting the vaccine because Joe Rogan said I don't have to, I don't blame Joe for that. I blame you for that. There are plenty of people saying that you should get the vaccine no matter how old you are or what you're doing, and listen to those people. So do I love that Joe Rogan is anti-vax? No, but he's entitled to his opinion. And I don't think he's trying to be harmful. But, you know, we Joe and I would never talk about that, nor would I ever listen to him on his advice on anything other than how to get out of a chokehold. Like, there's just, I like Joe, but my relationship to him is not the relationship that his fans have with him. So, yeah, I've got zero problem with it. And I could see myself one day going back on Joe Rogan. But it wouldn't be just to like fucking dick around. And if he brought up anti-vax stuff, I would call him out on it, and we would have a debate. And I think he's fine with that too. So yeah, I don't judge. And again, anyone who can get on that show, to promote themselves, then do it. It's the you know, the second biggest podcast after the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. And now it's time for
ad copy.
ZipRecruiter, they're the best. All of the businesses reopening, you know, due to the pandemic and everything kind of opening back up, whether it's movie theaters, concert venues, comedy shows, the gym, they're all looking for employees. Everywhere I go, there's a now, you know, looking, you know, what is it? Help wanted. You know, the signs. I'm an idiot. I'm like every single shop. You know, we tape these on Mondays now. It's a long Sunday, and I'm an idiot. But ZipRecruiter can help out anyone, including idiots. You can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. Their matching technology scans resumes to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. According to ZipRecruiter internal data, jobs where employees invite candidates to apply get 2.5 times more candidates. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Seems like it would be a good time right now to go get a job, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be looking for one soon.
Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Got a new sponsor this week. It's Lathwaite's Wine. Look, I love a little Lathwaite's. You get the wine shipped right to your door. It's like you don't have to go out. They choose it. I don't know anything about wines, really, so they choose it for you. A Lathwaite's wine subscription is an easy way to bring exciting new wines right to your doorstep. Unbox a world of wine with easy access to different and unexpected winemakers from all over the globe. This could class you up, Anthony.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to sell wine. Just like, you can get wine this way. Here's a way to get wine. They'll send it to you, and they'll tell you what's good.
So they'll great from all know. Over.
How many times have you walked into a wine store and just like been looking around and just grabbed a bottle and then you get home and you're like, oh, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't great. Yeah, don't do that. Go to Lathwaite's Wines and have them just send you what they know you're going to like.
Yeah, they got drink the big, luscious flavors of the Red Sedan. That's a Cabernet and Shiraz blend. That sounds good. It'll make you forget everything you thought you knew about Australian wine. They taste over 40,000 wines a year. Only 600 make the cut. You enjoy the cream of the crop. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't love a wine, let Lathwaite's know, and you will receive a refund. Members save on every subscription case that they choose to take. So you just choose what you like. You choose what you keep. Sounds good to me. I find I'm not a huge drinker, so I find myself in a situation where you're going over to someone's house and you got to bring a wine. It's like you don't know what to do and you just stop on the way and it stinks. I just want it at my house. I want the Lathwaite's. Now, you can start by getting 6 amazing bottles of wine plus 2 bonus bottles and 2 stemless wine glasses for only $49.99 plus tax with free delivery. Just text PROJECT. That's the word PROJECT. PROJECT. To 64,000 to get the special offer, text PROJECT to 64,000. That's PROJECT to 64,000 for the 6 bottles of wine plus 2 bonus bottles, 2 stemless wine glasses for $49.99 with free delivery. Terms apply. Available at lathwaites.com/terms.
And I think, just to bring these ads together, you know, if you're trying to get a job, you know, and you show up with a bottle of wine, you're more likely to get that job. Even if you're just like kind of like swigging out of the bottle as you wait in the waiting room. But if you show up with 6 bottles of wine, you're guaranteed to get that job. You're going to replace the guy who's interviewing you if you show up with 6 bottles of wine and have them all opened so you don't have to take time.
What about drinking the wine and then just hopping on ZipRecruiter to just like check out who's hiring or use it to hire?
Because then you might accept 2 jobs at once. You know what I mean? Then have to, on Monday morning, you're like, oh no, I shouldn't have done that. But yeah, bring wine to a job interview. Share it with the people around you. You know, bring wine and be like, oh, you guys aren't getting drunk for this? And then see how drunk you can get your competition. before you walk in there. I think that's the best way to do it. And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines. We got some good ones.
I mean, that sounds like one of those like NBC, like the more you know ads, like a Disney service announcement. Yeah. There's nothing I can possibly do to improve the next headline or provide any context, at least right away. So I'm just going to read it word for word. Man poos out of penis and ejaculates out of bum due to rare condition.
Let me tell you right now, it's not that rare. We've all had this. We've all had this at one time or another. What I love about this is that you've never... Come on, you can admit it. It's a podcast. You ejaculate out your bum, and you poo out of your penis. It just happens. It's just sometimes, you know, things get reversed in there.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I didn't mean for that to happen, but it's happening. A lot of penis related mishaps on the podcast this past month or two. I kind of glanced at this story. Didn't he have this going on for 2 months before he saw a doctor?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's amazing that you would wait 60 days. But you would just be like, maybe tomorrow it'll be fine. Maybe tomorrow I'll be pooing out of my butt and ejaculating out of my penis as per usual. But I don't want to waste my doctor's time with this. And like, and how many, like, at what point do you stop trying to have an orgasm? You know, or just start like just go to a liquid only diet to try not to poop.
Wait,
out of your penis.
So in your mind, what do you think happens when he's having an orgasm?
I assume that semen comes out of his butt. I'm assuming like he orgasms like normal. He feels the orgasm and then he has to like wipe his butt. That's what I'm going to shock you guys. I know this is episode 124, but I am not a doctor. Not only am I not a doctor, but I don't actually read the stories that we talk about. I like Greg to fill me in.
Yeah.
And I assume this was in England.
Yeah, it was.
Because of the word bum.
Yeah, because of the headline.
But in England, I mean, they are an incestuous people. It's a small island. They've been around forever. So they get some medical issues that we don't quite get here. You know, we're more of a melting pot, whereas they're just like pretty inbred.
Yeah, I don't think like it wasn't
a lot of weak chins over there across the pond.
I mean, I hesitate to say this knowing my kids are possibly within earshot, but like I don't think he was like exactly like just like peeing shit or, you know, pooping cum. Like it was just like it was all sort of like mixing together in a troubling mix. Like sometimes it was just like the pee was like a little brown and there was some particles in it, or sometimes there was like some semen getting mixed.
Yeah, it wasn't like a full on turd coming out of his penis like
right, that's like what I'm
somebody
saying.
Like somebody blowing up a balloon. Like, I think it was exactly what you're saying, like urine mixed with feces. I love how you were worried about saying it in front of your kids and then said it in the most crass way possible.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to. That's the way that would be the best way. They said they took a CAT scan. The sounds of what was going on sounds terrible. And it showed that he had a gas-filled structure, which further tests revealed was something called a fistula, which is exactly what this should be called, a fistula, an abnormal passageway between the man's urethra and rectum. He denied, like, they were like, okay, well, do you have, like, have you had anything strange happen? Or do you have, like, anal sex? Did you put anything up your butt? Like, different things like that. And he was like, no. But then he was like, oh, yeah, 2 years ago, I was in a 3-week coma following a cocaine and PCP overdose, and that was right around when this all started.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet something went up the butt during that party.
Exactly.
That's, I mean, there are parties where if you're at a party that lasts longer than 12 hours, something's going in your butt. You know what I mean? So if it's like a week long bacchanal, then there's like you've got like. You like try to put something up your butt and realize something's already up there. So yeah, I guarantee that's what happened to him. And they were able to reverse it. Like my fear would be, like ejaculating out your butt's not that big a deal, but I would think that that pooping
what do you
out of
mean
your pe-
it's not that big a deal.
In that because I'll tell you, because if you're pooping out of your penis, then they're like, you're gonna get an infection. Do you know what I mean? Whereas like ejaculating out of your butt, like, you know, it's not like, oh, ejaculate is gonna cause an infection in your butt. Your butt's still safe. But you would think that cutting off your penis would be a possibility if there was an infection there. If that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Dr. Justin, like, I don't know.
Feces is filled with bacteria and dirt, whereas semen is
I get
just
what you're
a
saying
bodily fluid.
With that.
Okay, but yeah, you don't, I don't know. I just feel like all bets are off in this situation. I'm going to have them check it out. No, they believe actually that during the coma that he was in for, being on cocaine and PCP, that a catheter was stuck up there. Ugh. Or something wrong, and somehow that messed up his organs and just got him sent in a bad direction or a great direction. Because as far as I know, he's the first person. They say this is rare, but I can't imagine this is happening too often.
I would just think if you woke up from a coma and you go home and you go to pee. And poop comes out, you go back to that hospital. Like, you would think that, like, during that, if anything's wrong after a coma, you would not be embarrassed to be like, hey, you know how I was just in here asleep for like a week? Things are weird downstairs. Would you double check? Or they didn't have a follow-up appointment? Like, it's just like, oh, you're awake. See you later. Like, see you next year for your checkup. Like, I just can't believe that you would wait so long for something so insane.
Maybe they did mention it. He just like wasn't listening. They were like, "Yeah, you know, if you have any poop coming out of your dick or any semen coming out of your butt, like, you know, come back for a visit." But he was just kind of like, you know, flipping through his phone. He wasn't really paying attention.
I mean, I would be so embarrassed to be reading about this in the paper if this was me.
Did he pee first or ejaculate first? You think
it sounded like it was like happening all the time. For weeks and weeks, like Anthony said, like he waited. Like I think this was a problem that may have been there for 2 years before he got it taken care of.
I like that he just didn't slow down at all. He was just like, let's keep on having these orgasms, even though something's horribly, horribly wrong below the waist. And I wanted to know, like, what was the final straw when he was like, you know what, I'm gonna go see a doctor again. I'm gonna go ask about this.
Imagine
googling this, trying to cure yourself. Imagine WebMD just kicking you off, just being like, "Get out of here. Go see a real doctor, one that talks to the press on the regular."
That is the sound of Erica phoning it in. Yeah. All right, Halloween season.
Replace it in post, but you draw attention to it.
Well, that's it's funny. Halloween season right around the corner. Pop-up store. It's always in the neighborhood. Is reopened near me. Notice some pumpkins around the neighborhood. And those haunted house type places are also opening up. With one in Ohio that got a little too real, Anthony. A worker in Bowie, Ohio. Stabbed an 11-year-old in the foot with a real knife in an effort to scare him after they questioned whether a knife was real or not.
Love it. Love it. Because this is like, you go to haunted houses wanting to be scared, and what's scarier than an 11-year-old getting stabbed? Like, if I was in that group that went through the house and someone was like, how was it? I'm like, it's fucking amazing, man. They stabbed an 11-year-old right next to me. It was unbelievable. Like, usually they're not allowed to get close. They can't touch you. But to feel like you had to prove something to an 11-year-old who questions if your knife is real. And thank God he stabbed him in the foot and didn't just go right for the chest. But why are you questioning things in a haunted house? Mm-hmm. That 11-year-old learned a very valuable lesson. That Halloween workers in haunted houses have done something wrong to get to that point. It's not like it's a job you can only have for a month or two out of the year. And doesn't seem like it's that great, but I think stabbing an 11-year-old is probably the top thing you can do. I'm sure this guy was fired, but he's a legend. There, they'll always remember him when Ron stabbed the kid in the foot.
It's definitely good publicity, like you mentioned. Like, it was on the local news. It made it to the national stories or whatever. Like, there are definitely more people going through that haunted house now than there were a week ago.
100%. Like, I'm not a haunted house guy, but I would go to that one for sure. I'd be like, I want to go to the one where the kid got stabbed. And I'd be like, can I shake the hand of the guy who stabbed the kid? Is he here? Did they keep the shoe?
It like requires, I guess, like a little more context, which is that, you know, he walked up to the son. The woman was talking to the local news. She said he walked up my son with the intention to scare him, but my son responded saying that and said, "That's fake. I'm not scared." And then the guy immediately, apparently, like, stabbed the ground to, like, show him, basically, to scare him, kind of show him it was real, and then, like, dragged the knife along the ground, and supposedly it was an accident, and, like, by mistake, slashed through the kid's Crocs a little bit, and cut him.
Don't go to a haunted house in Crocs. You want to be buying closed-toed shoes, but, I mean, everyone's in the wrong here. The kid should have just been like, oh no. And moved on. Like, be polite if someone's
He did, actually. That is the most gangster thing about it. And you're right. Like, no, everyone knows don't wear Crocs to the haunted house. He went through the rest of the tour. He actually didn't complain at all, it sounds like, at least at the time. The mom did the news story, but I think it's because, the police ended up charging him for negligent assault. But they were kind of like, oh, we didn't want to charge him. We just kept walking, actually. He was very nice to us afterwards and, like, feeling bad about it and, like, trying to, like, make the son better, which, you know, doesn't make it quite as funny a story, but it was what? Nice.
Like, I don't know. Tried to stitch him up? Like, I mean, was the kid bleeding? Or did he just, like, cut his shoe? Or was he, like, did he scratch
it? It seemed like it was, like, a flesh wound. I don't think it was, like, a major problem. So, which means, I mean, it seems like it's part of the fun.
It's a baller move on the kid to just keep going through the haunted house. But what is wrong with your parents? If I was 11 and I was in a haunted house and someone stabbed me, my parents were like, well, we already paid $10. Let's just finish it out. I bet they get less stabby as you go through. And this he seems like a nice guy. Let's just get our money's worth and get out of here. Happy Halloween.
I do love the title of the place. It was called Seven Floors of Hell. Like, what were the other floors?
Yeah, taking an 11-year-old to Seven Floors of Hell is already questionable, but I love it. I love this story. I love this guy, and that's why he is our JRVP Listener of the Week.
Venden sus almas, luego andan de culo, llorando en el Instagram como puto.
So what, now we're going back to the songs from the guy
my
from like
three episodes ago? My soundboard is all fucked up.
Pair of gorillas last week, Anthony, gave kids at the Bronx Zoo a lesson they will never forget, a lesson in how to give a blowjob. Just a bunch of families and onlookers were just watching these two gorillas, and all of a sudden, one just started going to town performing oral sex on its partners in front of a group of the surprised onlookers.
Now, I saw the picture. It's very funny. Everyone in the picture looks amused. They're all, like, turned around, like, looking at the camera, like, can you fucking believe this? I assumed it was the other way around. I assumed it was a girl, a girl gorilla who was getting pleased. But it says a guy.
Yeah, it looked like
a video.
It looked like a guy. We do have the video. If you want to see it, the sounds of the reaction of the people are pretty great. So yeah, let's watch and listen.
What's great is that if the parents hadn't said anything, like, they wouldn't have known what was going on. They could have said, like, she's cleaning him, and the kids would have been like, oh, okay. But the fact that the parents are all, like, screaming, like, oh no, this, like, it's their worst nightmare, without actually leaving is very funny. But the gorillas can't surprise you with oral sex. You know, gorillas, they're just like, they're in their natural habitat. They're just going to get it on. It's not like they did anything wrong. The gorillas are in the right here. It reminds me of a story when I was in high school. My friends and I went to a mall that had a pet store, and there was a monkey in a cage by itself in the pet store. And the monkey is it's sucking its own dick, It is just sitting there, like, bent over, hunched down. And we're, like, a couple of us notices it and are laughing. And then one of our friends is just staring at it transfixed. And she keeps going, it's sucking its own dick. It's sucking its own dick. You just kept repeating it over and over again. Well, I forget, we were trying to buy, like, birdseed or something. And the whole time, my friend's just going, he's sucking his own dick. And the next day, we went to school and told people about it. And their first question was, why didn't you buy it? Like, why would you not put your money together and buy that monkey and just have a monkey that's always going down on itself wherever it goes? I think that would be great. But I like the story. What were your thoughts, Greg? If you took your kids to the zoo and the gorillas started going to town on each other, what would you do?
I'd like to think I would have the same reaction as that of the families there. My favorite moment of that video was right at the beginning. They start to like look like they hug. They're almost like the gorillas are gonna hug or kiss, and everyone goes, oh, and then like half a second later, everyone goes from oh to oh, like, oh no. But they all just start like kind of cracking up. I think that's the way to do it, to just laugh. And maybe I would try to not say anything. I would not try to be the guy at the end of the video who was like, don't look, Josie. Like, that was like right when it ended. But you could, yeah, you could see it all, because you can kind of see at the very end the gorilla pulls off, and there you could see the other gorilla was definitely, you know, pretty excited. It was definitely working, if you know what I'm saying.
I would think, I mean, if I was in that situation, probably no. Gonna masturbate. I'm not gonna lie. Just get right up to the window and just be like, if they can do it, I can't. What is this? What's going on here? Erica, would you be trying to get in there looking for tips?
Yeah, trying to figure it out. I mean, it was graphic watching that. I was like, oh my God.
All right, I was a little surprised because it was like on the newspaper website, but then I thought, like, this is a totally natural thing. And that's what the zoologist said. It was just like, yeah, this is fairly common. You know, gorillas give each other oral sex like other animals do too. You know, it happens. Get over yourself. But yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you would expect, which is just like a gorilla sucking some dick.
I mean, it would be funny if I want to see the video where someone falls into the gorilla enclosure and then the gorilla starts going down on it. Or if you fell in and you're like, this gorilla's going to kill me, like, do you take one for the team? You know what I mean? It's kind of like what happened in that Eric Andre prank movie. If you're just like, listen, if I give you a little oral, will you let me out of here alive? You know, will it? But yeah, now we're getting into Eric Andre territory. Go see that movie, Bad Trip. It was fantastic. I think it's on Netflix.
Well, there was a recommendation. Now, by the way, you told that monkey story on the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
And it could have been 10 episodes ago, or it could have been 100. I really have no idea anymore. I've lost all sense of time.
I think it was RVP. I don't remember.
I enjoyed it both times. No, it was definitely JRVP. But
I'm glad you brought it up for no reason then to just say that. What would have been funny is if, like, what if the gorillas started going down on each other and then just zookeepers just came in guns blazing? Just like, kill them before people see this.
Shot them up.
Yeah, we can't let anyone know. Who wants an ashtray? And now it's time for
ad copy.
Manscaped, it's back. You know, this is the part where we talk about anytime.
I think it's amazing we went from gorillas having oral sex with each other to manscaping. Because I think if gorillas were manscaped, they would be the most pornographic animals alive.
That's true. Like, if there's any part of the animal kingdom that could use the Manscaped 4.0, it's the gorillas.
Because the gorillas, they're not early adopters. Like, when the 2.0 came out, they thought about it, 3.0. But, like, once you get the 4.0, the gorillas are like, okay, like, now show me something. Because, like, the 4.0 is a technological marvel.
Like, some could use it more than others. I do remember the zoologist saying how, like, chimpanzees are pretty boring, you know? They're not really that into it. It's the same thing every time. But, like, the bonobos, like, they're crazy. They get freaky. It looks like they've read the Kama Sutra. Like, they could really use The Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 and the Performance Package 4.0. Inside the package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer.
I want to pause for a second just to say this is the greatest ad read in the history of Manscaped. that you started describing different types of monkey.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, the different monkeys could use it differently. You know, who knows? Maybe the gorillas would use the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. They could use that. The crop preserver ball deodorant, the crop reviver toner, the performance boxer briefs. That would be silly, but would be exciting.
They look good. I mean, again, these are all products for people because gorillas don't have money. Okay, Manscaped is a corporation. They're doing a good service, but they want that money. They're not just going to be like, okay, here's something for the gorillas. You know, unless you buy one and throw it into an enclosure and see what happens, which I don't recommend.
The fourth generation trimmer features cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on off switch, which can engage a travel lock. It's even waterproof. It's got it all you want. Don't forget to use the crop preserver and the ball deodorant. All this stuff is in the Performance Package 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com for a clean Trinity and beyond your space balls. Well, thank you.
And you know what? I'll say this too. When you get a Manscaped 4.0, get two of them. Okay? And you might be asking me, Anthony, why? You got two hands. You can get it done in half the time if you have two. And they're not that expensive. Go ahead and get two. And when people see two on the charging stations, they're like, why you got two? Show them why you got two. You know? Do a little like, almost like they would do, they like have like parties where people show up at the party and they show you how to use different things. Do that. Invite your friends over and then sell some more. And use the code JRVP. I'm telling you.
What a pro this guy is. Another long-time advertiser, All Form. You've probably heard us talk about our Helix mattresses, which we love. The same company makes the All Form couches. My parents were just in town, you know, for Ellis's birthday, and one of the first things they said walking into the house was like, "Wow, that is a nice sofa. That fills the room. It's beautiful. It's comfortable." You know, we spent the whole vacation just lounging on the sofa. It was easier to have guests over because this sofa is so huge. It seats like six people.
If you're going to lie down with your mom and dad, you know, like you guys do, then you want All Form. You want to be able, we want that space so you can really kind of move around.
Well, you're sitting, it's like three seats where you're kind of sitting up straight, but then there's also, you know, the chase where it's kind of like the lounge where you're just kind of sitting down. You can choose any kind of All Form sofa that you want, though. You can customize it using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. You can pick the fabric, which is all spill, stain, and scratch resistant. That has come in handy with the kids. No matter what happens, it has stayed clean. They've got armchairs. They got love seats all the way up to an 8-seat sectional. That's what I'm saying. Whoa. That's a big family. Put your eight seats on the sectional.
This stuff is great. It's IKEA plus. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel cheap. It feels sturdy. You're gonna have it for the rest of your life. It's great. It's great. Great furniture. Great.
You can choose
gift.
Any color, size, how you use it. Mine, as I said, was the four person with the chase. It was very easy to set up. You order it in the mail. And it comes with all the instructions. We had it set up very quickly. And if it sounds a little risky, you don't need to worry. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it, more than 3 months. If you don't love it, they'll give you a free and full refund, even offer a forever warranty, literally forever. To find your perfect sofa, check out allform.com/JRVP. Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/JRVP. That's 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/JRVP. Erica loves hers. I love mine.
So
Anthony's
great.
Brother loves his. Everyone loves it.
And that was
ad copy.
What's the next headline?
All right. So I admittedly have not kept up with the Gabby Petito story too much since you guys broke it down last week.
That's have what you? Eric and I are here for. I mean, I've been, mm-hmm. there hasn't been much of an update. I know they definitely have said that
they found her body. Yeah, and
that's
it's
a pretty big
homicide.
Update. Finding her body.
Said she was murdered. I thought they found the body by the time we talked about it last week. Or no? Was
they
it right
did.
After?
They found the body.
Yeah,
but
they found the body. They hadn't done the autopsy yet. They did the autopsy Tuesday and said she was murdered. They have not found the guy. There's like rumors that the guy, that the boyfriend has been gone for like way longer than the parents said. Like that the parents are lying about
it. I told
you,
they're being weird about it.
They're being weird, but like smart in a legal sense that like I get why they're doing what they're doing. But
I
believe he got much more of a head start. But he left his wallet and his phone that I don't know what he's using. But again, I believe they'll find him dead.
Mm-hmm. An increasing amount of QAnon conspiracy theorists are suggesting some promising new theories, though, about her disappearance, suggesting Petito is a crisis actor and a false flag to distract people from President Joe Biden's failures, which, you know, seems far-fetched, but Biden's really messing up this immigration. Why not give this a shot?
I'm on record as saying that QAnon are the dumbest people in the fucking world, like just so goddamn dumb that you would think that the crisis actors is insane. You would think that someone would take an acting job and then for the rest of their life have to like stay in character about how their school got shot up. That you would think that was ever a thing that people would do, or that they were like, or that Biden's team would be like, oh God, we're getting this bad press. You know, things aren't like our approval rating is so low. Let's get a 22-year-old girl to go missing who has like five followers on social media, hashtag van life, and have her go missing. And that way people will stop talking about Biden. They'll be like, what a wonderful job Biden has done. Like if Biden like came and like went to the autopsy and like kissed the girl and she came back to life, then maybe I would say like that something sounds weird here. But that they would not dream bigger than have just one girl go missing and a guy go missing who probably most likely 100% killed her is completely insane. It's completely insane. Not even the most insane thing that QAnon believes. But why they would even be like, oh yeah, I bet this is... It would be like saying, like, I bet the Cardinals have won 16 games in a row in order to detract from Biden's performance. It doesn't make any fucking sense. There are multiple news stories every day. Assholes.
Well, yeah, this one did take off, though, quite a bit. It did make me think... Two takeaways, which is that there's so many dumb people. There's just so many. Like, you can never underestimate how many dumb people there are. And I know you just said that, but, like, that, it's, like, so many. And that, like, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you can almost always retrofit any theory mm-hmm. to any fact after it happened. Hence, like, the entire last 50 years of, like, JFK conspiracies.
Yeah, but, like, a young girl is dead. You know what I mean? And they're going to, like, use that as, oh, this is a Biden thing. That this happened, and again, there can be multiple news stories a day. This is so popular because people are sick of fucking hearing about immigration. People are sick of hearing about the president. They want a story that has a little mystery to it that they can sink their teeth into. It's like it's more fun to read about Gabby Petito than it is to read about fucking nobody wanting to take a vaccine. But QAnon, I thought QAnon would be done. Like, isn't it been like five times that they said that Biden was going to be ousted and Trump would be put back in?
Like,
and
the
day keeps going by. And then
that's
like,
what they say.
Happen.
They say that this is what it's about, that everyone is worried about the Arizona vote audit and that this was to distract us from that. And also that in the past, Q had said that crimes against children would unite us. Us meaning the QAnon supporters like myself, and that Q also said the first arrest, yeah, would be like uniting them, and so that somehow maybe this is connected to those previous Q words, which is gets to what I'm talking about, where you can like almost connect anything to anything if you're dumb enough.
Yeah, I mean, violence against children always like gets me going, unites me. Hearing about an 11-year-old getting stabbed in the foot, you know, pumps me up, gets my fans going. So, yeah, I kind of get it. But, yeah, just how long are they going to let this run for? Like, I feel like QAnon's around forever. If they haven't bailed out yet, that they will never, ever truly go away because they just change it. It's like that guy on the street with, like, the sign, like, the world's going to end in X amount of days. You know, you could just keep changing the date. But these people are so, so dumb, and I hate them. And I love that they hate me. Greg, what's our last headline? This is a good one, too.
Yeah, finally, it's a story about a staff member at an Oregon elementary school who showed up to work in blackface just last week to protest against a vaccine mandate for all school district staff members. She intended she said that she intended to look like Rosa Parks, so she dressed up in blackface.
Rosa Parks, famous civil rights activist who refused to sit at the back of the bus way back in the day and became a lightning rod for the civil rights movement. This person just didn't want to get the vaccine. Yeah, I assume that the school was like, you have to be vaccinated by a certain date, and she was protesting that. Or did they have to be vaccinated that day, and she showed up?
By a certain date. You know, the rule had passed that it was coming, the vaccine mandate. And yeah, she showed up in the blackface, the mandate, to represent that she was the new Rosa Parks.
Was it just her face, or did she do like arms and stuff too?
I don't know.
Because here's what cracks me up. It's like the fact that if you just shut up in blackface, no one knows what's going on. It's like I'm protesting this by showing up in blackface. Using the name Rosa Parks is inherently funny to me. Just to be like, I'm in blackface. I'm Rosa Parks. This is an homage. You couldn't tell by looking at me. That's racist. Because everyone knows I'm Rosa Parks when I put this on my face. And this wasn't a teacher. She was an assistant in the special ed classes. So those kids must have been wildly confused. Wildly confused that the assistant just shows up in blackface that day.
Yeah, she might be an assistant to like one student, you know, who, you know, has a wheelchair or something. She helps him. Some sort of assistant in special ed.
But just, I mean, why not just quit your job instead of showing up in blackface and saying, I'm Rosa Parks? And like, if she couldn't say Rosa Parks, who would she have said? Like, I'm Harriet Tubman.
Well, I like just the idea that you can dress up essentially as a civil rights leader, and then you are the civil rights leader, that you are making the difference. Like, you could shave your head and wear some robes, and then, like, you are Gandhi. You are spreading the message of peace.
And I think that everyone who refuses to get vaccinated should have to go in blackface every day wherever they go. So you can tell where they are and salute them for their service. Like, thank you, Rosa Parks. Thank you, Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you, Malcolm X. Like, you guys are really showing us by not getting the fucking vaccine. Get the vaccine. We're the anti-Joe Rogan here. We tell people, everyone get it. If your kids are 12 and under and they're not allowed to get it, sneak it to them. Sneak it to them. You don't want your kids walking around in blackface.
I'm sick of my kids not getting it. I'm thinking of, like, I don't know, seeing if they can go somewhere else.
What do you mean? Going to wait until they allow kids that young to get the vaccine? Because that's coming soon, isn't it?
I'm just kind of
like 12 and over.
I'm sick of their shit, you know? It's like, if you're not going to be safe around us, maybe they should like stay out in the yard or something.
What if Walker gets the vaccine and his testicles swell up and then his fiance calls off their engagement? What about that? Then who's laughing? It's Rosa Parks. Oh, nah. What's that fuss? I wonder if she did she dress in period appropriate clothing? You know, like how hard did she commit to the Rosa Parks bit? You know, was she kind of holding a little purse? You know, did she make her, like, was it just blackface and she wore her regular clothes? Because then you can't say Rosa Parks. But if you really put effort into the costume, then maybe. I mean, she's on like paid leave right now, I think, unless she's been fired since then. But that's a gots to go situation.
I think she's gone, man. I don't think she's coming back at that point. You know, that's not a crucial position at the school. I think once you go Rosa Parks, you're probably done.
But even
they immediately sent her home.
Yeah. But even if people agree with you, even people are like, I think it's fascist that you have to get this vaccine, which I 100% disagree with. No one's going to be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, Karen took it one step further and showed up in blackface telling everyone that she was Rosa Parks. You'd be like, what the fuck? Like, just don't get the vaccine and lose your job. Why would you think that walking in like that, they'd be like, oh, I see your point. You know, I'm more of a visual learner. So when you told me you didn't want to get the vaccine, I didn't really pull it together. But then when you showed up in blackface and called yourself Rosa Parks once, then I realized the error of my ways. Here's a promotion, you fucking idiot. And now it's time for
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Greg, what do you got for us this week?
I mean, I've got like an alarm going off in the background. I don't know if you can hear that. Can you?
I can't.
It's like I think Walker set a weekly alarm for like when certain football games are going to start. So that's exciting. I'm going to recommend a TV show, 100 Foot Wave on HBO. Is a documentary series. Have you seen it, Anthony?
I have not.
Have you seen the ads? You know, it's about big wave surfing in Portugal, which is this huge surfing area now, but that basically this guy that the documentary is about more or less like found and made world famous almost a decade ago, and just kind of the search of surfers and like, you know, getting the rush and trying to find the big wave. And it's very much like a man versus nature story, and it's very much like a what are you going to sacrifice in your life and maybe your family to just like seek out this thing that you feel you almost have like no control, but you feel like you have to do it even if it's like fucking up the rest of your life. It probably would have been like a better 2-hour documentary. I'm finding that with a lot of these like 5 1-hour episode documentary types, that like it's really fascinating, it's really good, the footage is amazing, like he's a fascinating character, but it's like you probably could have made it like 2. That's why documentaries used to be shorter. So it's not like a hard recommend, but I did enjoy it. Did you like it, Ricky?
Yeah, I just think it's so crazy, like what you said, with like just for it's not someone goes out with a surfboard, there's like, you know, the jet skis and like all the people behind the scenes that need to like go to help one person ride like a massive wave that like 9 times, like it's so dangerous. And so I found that like really thrilling.
Right. He didn't like, it took, yeah, months and months of preparation, really years of going back and back, and all these people and all this work like goes into it. And basically just for the thrill of it more than anything, he got somewhat famous from it, but it more or less is just like because he wanted to do it. And one thing really stuck with me that he said, which was like, this is not about like man conquering nature, it's like you know, nature fucking kicks our ass every time, and you will never conquer it. It's just like, can you coexist next to it for like one brief moment?
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Was Laird Hamilton in it?
He was like very briefly in it as sort of like a talking head who was just like, yeah, I know Rick, like Rick's crazy. And like talking about how he's, you know, crossed paths with him, over the years, but not a main character. Yeah.
Okay. 100 Foot Wave. Erica, do you have anything, this week?
Yes. Yeah, so I just finished this book called The Last Mrs. Parrish. And it's by Liv Constantine. And there was the one that I was like, it's taken me a while to sort of get into, because it's about this girl who like sort of embeds herself with this really rich family, and you don't really know what her plan is. And so for a while, it took me like a little bit. I was like, what is this? Like, you know, she has some sort of plan, and you know, she's like putting on a facade and she's lying about stuff, but you don't know really why. And it keeps referring back to this incident. But when it finally came together, I was just like, oh, like it was really, really cool. So I enjoyed it. And I think if you like some of my other recommendations for books, you would like this as well. The Last Mrs. Parrish by Liv Constantine.
Okay. Is it a new book or has it been around?
No, it's 2017.
Okay. I've got a great recommendation this week. I loved this show. I haven't loved a show this much in a long time. I binged it in 2 days. This week was recommended to me by a friend. You know, I love Korean movies. I love Korean entertainment. This is a Korean TV show on Netflix called Squid Game. All right, Squid Game is the name of the show. It's 9 episodes. They're about an hour long. It's subtitles, but it's fucking awesome. It's like the basic plot is that people who are in, it's like, I mean, it's kind of like an anti-capitalist message, but people who are like drowning in debt get an offer to join this game to win a ton of money. There's 6 games they have to play, and they're all they're based on children's games, but it starts with like 400 some people, and if you get eliminated from the game, you're murdered, like you get killed playing the game, and then whoever's left over, they get all this money pours in, and you have to, if you make it all the way to the end, you split this money with whoever else is left. And the games get crazier and crazier, and you learn more about different people who are playing the game and the dire straits they're in. There's an episode, I think I'll call it the Marble episode, that like almost made me cry. Like it truly is like it's just an emotional roller coaster, and the show is so smart about how they do it. It seems like kind of like Hunger Games, but it's not. Where they have one of the rules is if the majority of the people left in the game vote to decide to leave, they can just leave. So it's like how badly do they need this money? Do they want this money? And I think they're setting up a season two.
Is it gory?
So it's like a reality show.
This is totally fiction. It's gory as all get out, and it is fucking awesome. Like I loved every second of it. It's so good, and things like they just put you in they give you impossible choices. There's in the Marble episode, they're like, I don't know who's gonna live through this. You would think by like, oh, the main character's got to, this guy's got to, but then it's like they just keep pulling the rug out from under you, and it is just full of surprises, full of great characters that you root for, and it's just an amazing show. Squid Game on Netflix. I've never seen a Korean show before, but I hope Netflix gets more of them, because I love Korean movies, and this show was just fucking bonkers awesome. Squid Game on Netflix. Check it out. And now, Debbie, get us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.